If you scroll through social media today, it feels like a war is being fought in public. In one corner, you have baby boomers, accused of hoarding wealth, clinging to outdated values, and refusing to move out of the way. In the other corner, you have millennials and Gen Z, louder than ever about burnout, rising costs, identity politics, and a future that feels permanently delayed. The noise is constant, the outrage is endless, but if you look closely, there's a third group sitting quietly in the background, not yelling, not trending, not making 10-part threads, just watching it all with a coffee in hand. And that faint, ironic smirk that says, "Yeah, I've seen this before." That's Generation X. Born roughly between 1965 and 1980, Gen X is the forgotten middle child of American history. Too young to inherit the boomers' economic golden age, and too old to get sympathy as the struggling youth. Most people barely mention them, until something breaks, and suddenly they're the ones expected to fix it. Because Gen X didn't become invisible by accident, they were trained to disappear. And when you grow up learning that nobody's coming to save you, it doesn't just shape your lifestyle, it rewires your personality. Today, we're not just talking history, we're psychoanalyzing an entire generation. This is the psychology of Gen X, the quiet generation watching the culture war. To understand the Gen X mind, you have to start where their psychology was first programmed, childhood. And the most iconic image of a Gen X childhood isn't a family dinner table, it's a house key, hanging from a string around a child's neck. In the 1970s and 80s, American families quietly transformed. Divorce rates climbed. Two-income households became normal. More women entered the workforce, which was a major step forward for society. But it also created a childcare gap that nobody truly knew how to fill. So millions of kids became something new. Latchkey kids. Picture it. It's 3:12 p.m. The school bus drops you off. You walk home alone. The neighborhood is quiet. You open the front door and the house greets you with silence. No footsteps. No voice calling your name. No adult energy. Just the hum of the refrigerator and the faint smell of yesterday's dinner. You make your own snack. You do homework with the TV on in the background. If you fall and scrape your knee, you rinse it and move on. If you feel scared, you swallow it. If you feel lonely, you don't even have the words for it yet. Psychologists might call this benign neglect. Not cruelty, not abuse, but something subtler. Being physically safe while emotionally unsupervised. And that environment wires the brain in a very specific way. When you're 8 years old and no one is coming to rescue you, you learn a brutal lesson early. Help is not automatic. Comfort is not guaranteed. Attention must be earned or ignored. That's where Gen X's famous independence comes from. But it's also where something deeper is born. Because when you grow up feeling unseen, you don't just become independent. You become invisible on purpose. You learn to take up less space, to have fewer needs, to solve your own problems quietly. And eventually, that coping strategy turns into a personality. It becomes your identity. And here's the part most people miss. The latchkey kid didn't stop needing love. They just stopped expecting it. They became adults who can survive anything, but struggle to ask for help. Adults who can work through pain, but don't know how to be held in it. That's the Gen X origin story, not spoiled, not broken, just trained from the beginning to disappear. One of the biggest misunderstandings about Gen X is this. People assume they're emotionally cold. But Gen X isn't cold. Gen X is compressed. They feel just as deeply as anyone else, sometimes deeper, yet they were raised in a culture where feelings were treated like an inconvenience. If you were sad, you were told to toughen up. If you were anxious, you were told to deal with it. If you cried, you were told you were being dramatic. So Gen X learned a survival skill that looks like emotional intelligence, but often isn't. They learned emotional minimalism. Not expressing much, not asking for much, not needing much, at least, not out loud. This is why a Gen Xer doesn't usually say, "I'm overwhelmed." They say, "I'm fine." They don't say, "I miss you." They say, "You still alive?" And when they love you, they may not give you poetry. They give you acts of service. They fix your car. They show up when it matters. They handle problems before you even notice them. That's their love language, because it feels safer than vulnerability. And sarcasm? That's not cruelty. It's emotional packaging. It's how they share pain without sounding weak. It's how they confess anxiety without making it a big deal. It's how they stay connected while keeping their guard up. Here's the hard truth. Gen X didn't grow up learning how to talk about feelings. They grew up learning how to function through feelings, so they can be emotionally mature and still emotionally unavailable. They can support everyone else while quietly neglecting themselves. Not because they don't care, but because for a long time the rule was simple: feel it privately, handle it alone, move on. Here's the paradox of Gen X. The very trait that made them strong is also the trait that makes them lonely. When you grow up as a latchkey kid, independence isn't a personality choice. It's survival. Your brain learns to scan for problems and solve them fast, without making noise, without asking permission, without needing emotional backup. So you become capable, not just responsible, capable in that quiet, almost intimidating way. The kind of person who can handle a crisis at work, fix what's broken, and still show up on time. The kind of person other people lean on when their life falls apart. But hyper-independence comes with a hidden price tag. Because at some point, self-reliance stops being a strength and becomes a wall. Gen X didn't learn, "I can do this." They learned, "I have to do this." And that subtle difference rewires everything. It creates adults who feel uncomfortable receiving support, even when they desperately need it. Adults who don't vent because venting feels useless. Adults who don't reach out, not because they don't care, but because some part of them still believes nobody will come. And over time, that becomes emotional isolation. They're not alone in the loud, obvious way. They can have families, careers, friends, but inside, there's often a quiet loneliness that comes from being the strong one for too long. This is why many Gen Xers struggle with therapy, not because they reject it, but because vulnerability feels like a foreign language. Their inner child is still whispering the same rule they learned as 8 years old: handle it, don't bother anyone. Hyper-independence is a superpower, but if you never learn to be held, it can turn into a private kind of prison. If hyper-independence is the engine of the Gen X psyche, then cynicism is the armor. Because Gen X didn't grow up in an era of trust, they watched institutions crack in real time. Watergate taught them the president could lie. The Cold War taught them tomorrow wasn't guaranteed. The Challenger explosion taught them even the future could fail. Suddenly, publicly, and violently. And then came the 80s. Glossy, loud, aggressively optimistic, while everything underneath felt unstable. Gen X became the first generation raised on non-stop advertising. From Saturday morning cartoons to mall culture, they were marketed to like a captive audience. And over time, their brain adapted. They developed a finely tuned internal alarm system, a BS detector. That's where the famous Gen X attitude comes from. Whatever. But people misunderstand that word. Whatever doesn't mean I don't care. It means I'm not going to give my heart to something that's probably fake. Psychologically, it's emotional self-defense. It's the art of keeping your expectations low enough so disappointment can't break you. Not because you're negative, but because you've been trained by experience. This is why Gen X doesn't trust hype, whether it's a political slogan, a corporate mission statement, or a social media trend promising to change your life in 30 days. They've seen too many promises collapse, so they don't hope loudly. They don't clap easily. They don't fall for shiny stories. And if you want a Gen Xer to respect you, there's only one language they truly believe in. authenticity. Not the pretty version, the real one. Because to Gen X, the ugly truth is comforting and the beautiful lie is dangerous. Cognitively, Gen X has a rare advantage that no generation before them or after them will ever fully share. They were raised in two different realities. Their childhood was analog, physical, slow, deep. They rode bikes without tracking apps, got lost and had to figure it out, memorized phone numbers, read maps, lived in a world where boredom existed, and boredom forced creativity. Their brains were wired for patience, for focus, for real-world problem-solving. And then, right as they were growing up, the digital revolution hit. Suddenly it was personal computers, email, dial-up internet, flip phones, and an entirely new kind of life. And Gen X didn't just witness it, they adapted to it. They learned both languages. That's why Gen X is psychologically bilingual. Boomers often struggle to intuitively trust new technology. Gen Z sometimes struggles to imagine solutions that don't involve an app, but Gen X can do both. They can open a spreadsheet, reset a router, troubleshoot a printer, and still understand how to handle a problem the old school way if technology fails. In the workplace, this makes them the translators, the glue, the people who can speak hierarchy and flexibility, professionalism, and memes. But there's also a hidden cost nobody talks about. Gen X didn't get to relax into either world. They had to keep updating. They built the digital future, while still carrying the analog responsibilities. They're the ones helping their parents log into accounts, while training younger co-workers on systems older than they are. Two realities, two speeds, one nervous system. And that constant switching creates a quiet kind of exhaustion Gen X rarely admits. Gen X isn't the loudest generation in the room, but when something actually needs to get done, they're usually the ones doing it. That's not just a cultural stereotype, it's psychological wiring. Latchkey kids didn't grow up being coached through life. They grew up improvising, solving problems quietly, cleaning up messes without applause. So as adults, Gen X became the generation of invisible labour, the workhorses who keep systems running, while everyone else argues about the system. They don't need motivation posters. They need fewer obstacles. And that's exactly why Gen X has a special hatred for being managed like children. Micromanagement doesn't just annoy them, it insults them. Because in their nervous system, control feels like distrust, and distrust feels personal. Their inner child, who raised themselves, hears one message loud and clear. You think I can't handle it? So Gen X usually responds the same way, not with dramatic rebellion, not with a viral rant, just quiet resistance. They do the work, avoid the politics, skip the meetings, and protect their autonomy like it's oxygen. Because for Gen X, independence isn't a preference, it's identity. And the moment you start managing their every move, you're not just managing a worker, you're triggering a survival instinct. If you want to understand the current mental state of Gen X, forget the stereotypes for a moment. Forget the slackers. Forget the flannel. Forget the sarcastic one-liners. Look at their calendar. Gen X is now in their 40s and 50s, and they're living inside a pressure cooker that psychologists often call the sandwich generation, caught between two heavy responsibilities at the same time. On one side, aging baby boomer parents. Parents who are living longer than any previous generation, but often with chronic illness, cognitive decline, or medical needs that require constant attention. Gen X is scheduling doctor appointments, navigating insurance, managing medications, answering late-night phone calls that begin with, "Something's wrong." On the other side, children. Gen Z and Gen Alpha kids growing up in an economy that feels brutal. Tuition costs, rent prices, mental health struggles, social media anxiety, and a job market that doesn't promise stability. These kids don't just need money. They need emotional support. They need presence. They need parents who can hold them. And in the middle of all that, Gen X is still expected to be productive at work like nothing is happening. This is the generation that entered adulthood right when pensions started disappearing and retirement became your problem. They survived the dot-com crash. They took hits during the 2008 financial crisis, right in their prime earning years. Then the pandemic arrived and shook the ground again. Many of them are still carrying mortgages, debt, and the fear that they'll never truly catch up. Here's what this creates psychologically, a kind of burnout that doesn't look like burnout. Gen X doesn't usually collapse dramatically. They don't post breakdowns online. They don't create long threads about how exhausted they are. They just keep going. They wake up early, help their kids, check on their parents, show up to meetings, handle emergencies, pay bills, and then fall asleep with their jaw clenched, only to do it again tomorrow. This is why Gen X is vulnerable to something deeply dangerous, high-functioning depression. You can be productive and still be depressed. You can be responsible and still be drowning. You can be the strong one and still be silently breaking. Because the latchkey kids who asked for nothing became the adults everyone asks everything from. And that's the tragedy of the sandwich trap. Gen X is carrying an entire family ecosystem on their shoulders while being emotionally trained to never ask for help. So they don't say, I can't do this anymore. They say, I'm fine. And then they keep working, quietly, relentlessly, until their body forces them to stop. Here's where Gen X gets hit from both directions. Boomers often see them as too detached. Gen Z often sees them as too blunt. And the truth is, Gen X doesn't feel fully understood by either side. In love, many Gen Xers care deeply, but they show it differently. They don't always speak in emotional paragraphs. They speak in reliability, in showing up, in fixing problems, in staying steady when life gets chaotic. But because they were raised to self-contain, intimacy can feel risky. Depending on someone can feel like weakness. So they love hard, choose and protect themselves at the same time. Then there's parenting. Gen X parents often carry a strange contradiction. They want their kids to feel supported in a way they never were. But they also believe hardship builds character. So they can sound tough even when they're trying to help. They'll say, figure it out, while secretly making sure you don't fall too far. And when it comes to identity and culture, Gen X is often pro-freedom, but allergic to performance. They don't mind difference, they mind hypocrisy. They can respect your identity and still roll their eyes at moral grandstanding. So they end up stuck in the middle again, too soft for the old guard, too hard for the new guard, and quietly thinking, nobody gets us, and honestly, we're too tired to explain. As Gen X moves past the midpoint of life, something quietly powerful begins to happen. For decades, they lived in survival mode, handling everything, needing nothing, staying invisible just to keep the system running. But now, many Gen Xers are reaching a turning point, not a breakdown, a pivot. They're leaving high-paying jobs that don't feel real anymore, starting small businesses, creating art, simplifying life, not because they're impulsive, but because they finally see the truth. They played the game, and the prize wasn't worth the cost. And here's the healing part. Gen X is learning that independence doesn't mean isolation. Strength doesn't mean silence. You're allowed to need help. You're allowed to be tired. You're allowed to choose yourself. If you're Gen X, tell me in the comments what part of this felt the most true. And if you want more psychology breakdowns like this, subscribe to the channel, because we're not done psychoanalyzing the generations yet. Thank you for watching.